Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Colin Squires.
It's good to be back. We've been on holiday the last couple of weeks. It was wonderful to have a break, and I'm very thankful to all of the people in the background and on the platform who have been making sure that everything continues to run and happen in my absence. So thank you all of you guys. I really, really appreciate it. But it is good to be back, and want to jump right in this morning because there's, I believe, loads that God wants to do. As because we're getting to the end of this is our last one in our series of spiritual formation, and although it's the end of our series, it is not the end of our formation. Amen. It's like, oh, great. Whoever we are and however we've been formed the last few weeks, it stops now and this is how we're going to be for the rest of eternity. Anyone else, if you thought that was true, would be going, oh, no, please don't let that be the case. I know I've got a long way to go. I don't know about you guys. I know some of you, you're nearly there. You're really close. You're very, very, very close. But all of us are still being formed every day, right? Not just during our series. We're becoming, hopefully, more like Jesus. And this is the question we've been posing, really: who are you becoming? Are we becoming people who are more like Jesus or not? And I think we've all been convinced, right? We all understand that we're never going to become more Christ-like by accident. We're not going to stumble into being wonderful, loving, selfless, kind people. In fact, the opposite is true. If left to our own devices, we tend to stumble back into being a bit more fleshly. And we need to take our cross every day, amen, and amen, continue to walk in the goodness of all that God has called us into. So we've been looking at how spiritual disciplines help us become more like Christ. And though the word discipline might sound a little bit like a bit of a downer, oh goodness, that sounds like a bit, maybe something to do with a connotation of being told off, hopefully we've realised that's not the case at all. That the disciplines we've looked at are investment, their opportunity, their time with God, focus on God. We've looked at prayer, Sabbath, silence and solitude, simplicity, submission, service. There's a lot of sibilance there, isn't there? Confession and worship. And of course, there are other disciplines we could look at that we've not really touched on, but we've looked at in the past: fasting, study, meditation, celebration, and more. But hopefully we've realized that these disciplines aren't meant to be heavy, but in fact the opposite: life-giving. They're the things that point us to the one who is our source of life. And today we're looking, as our last one in this series, at community. And so perhaps this is not so much a discipline in the same way that fasting might be, for example, but it is still something that is important in our formation. And maybe we could ask the question today, the focus is not who are you becoming, but who are we becoming? And so the concept of community is deeply rooted in Scripture. It's in the very nature of God. Both in the Trinity and in the church and all through Scripture, we see this God who is community himself. To quote John Mark Comer, you know, he's one of my favorite preachers, authors, and theologians. He said this: the story of God is a story of community. From the very beginning, when God created, he said, "Let us make them mankind in our image." God in three parts: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a triune community of loving relationship, the beloved and the lover and love itself. And then he created them, male and female. It wasn't just Adam on his own. In fact, the first thing that God said wasn't good. Remember, he said, this is good, and this is good, and this is good every day. The first thing that God said was not good was man's aloneness. And he made them male and female. He is not good for man to be alone. He made people, he made us for community. And then throughout the Old Testament, we see the way that God chose a community of faith, the children of Israel, to be a people for himself. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people." And then throughout the New Testament, we see so many examples and pictures of community, being adopted into God's family, being the body of Christ, all fitting together, the ears and the eyes and the hands and all of the features, and then being built together like a temple, a building. And this is really where I feel God's saying to particularly focus our understanding or our picture of what it is he wants to do in our midst this morning is in this building. And I want to read you from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. And I'm going to read from the Message. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts some of this stuff. I think sometimes it can really challenge our understanding of familiar verses and put them in a way where we go, oh, Jesus, this is what you want to say to me. And I think it'd be a really wonderful way to just hear afresh what God wants to bring out from the Word to us. And so I want to read this, but rather than just go over a familiar verse, I would encourage you to really listen to the voice of God speaking to you this morning. I believe there are people in here that God specifically wants these words to pierce our hearts and really be heard and taken on board and lived in the good of. Amen? So here we go. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here, with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. I am so excited to see all that God is doing in us as a community of faith at the moment. I feel like I can say, I see it taking shape day by day. God molding us, making us into the people he has always intended us to be. And I'm so encouraged to see the examples of that in the worship team. The way these guys are just loving each other, encouraging one another, spurring one another on, stirring one another up to love and good works. And we see the flowing out of that. We are blessed by that. Amen. The way these guys are just encouraging one another and just strengthening one another. I'm so excited for all the testimonies we heard, both through freedom and the baptisms, of the way God used the body to bring people to himself, restoration. I love just hearing Maria's testimony saying, all of my friends who don't know God, they'd only turn up at my house when they needed something, usually to borrow money. But the church, they came to love me. They came to help me and support me. It was wonderful just to hear the way God was ministering to people through us, through one another. And I'm so excited for all that he wants to continue to do in that. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can we all say thank you, Jesus, for the family that you've made us and the community you've placed us in, and that I have a part to play in that. Now, you might think it's a bit odd to have community in a spiritual formation series. As I said, it's not really a discipline in that sense, but it is who we spend our time with. And what we spend our time doing with those people is probably one of the things that's going to shape us and form us more than anything else. I heard a great quote recently where somebody said that you are the average of the top five people you spend your time with. I thought, like, oh, that's a really interesting reflection. And I've talked about how much I've become more like my wife, and she's become more like me over the last 10 years of our marriage. And we become like those we spend time with. And the Bible says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Do we need to think about some of the company that we keep if it's being a corrupting influence?
That's right.
But also, the one who walks with the wise will become wise.
That's true.
We become like those we spend time with. I want to ask you this question. We're going to have opportunity for a bit of discussion very shortly, but to have this one to ponder on yourself, maybe reflect on, maybe you want to jot it down and answer this in your prayer time with the Lord. But who do you have in your life that reflects Jesus to you? Who do you spend time with that just you go, ah, just... I just feel the sense of just God's goodness. I want to pray more. I need to be praying for them or I love the way that they are. They reflect something of Jesus I need to know better. Who have you got in your life that helps you become more like him? And what could you be doing to be more intentional about spending time with that person? Now, community we know is so important because it is where so much of all the other things we've looked at previously in this series really come about. It's where they fit together. We were not meant to, and I hope it's not come across, that over this series we've intended that everyone writes down, like, okay, here's some spiritual disciplines, thank you very much. I'll now go away on my own, and I'll put all of these things into practice, and in a few years' time, I'll come back and I say, right, I'm ready to be part of the church now, now that I've achieved spiritual perfection. That is, of course, not the desire, or even possible. It is here, in the community, that we put these things into practice. We are meant to be praying for one another, worshiping together, confessing our sins one to another that we may be healed, stirring up one another. We are to, in short, love one another. Amen. And if that's the true measure of spiritual maturity is love, then we get the opportunity to first put that into practice with one another. Amen. And of course, we know we grow the most with one another. The Bible says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Right. I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I need some helping up. Yes. Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes I need people around me to help lift me and encourage me. The Bible also says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Sometimes I need the rough edges of me knocking off a bit. I need challenge. I need someone to call me out on stuff. And it's this together that is why God puts us in community. But we probably can't have a message like this about community and fellowship and the importance of one another if we just sat in our seats and listened to a message and never engaged with the person sat next to us. That would be ironic, wouldn't it? So I'm going to give you the next few minutes. I want to pose this question to you. Why does God put us in community? What is it for? And how have you experienced the impact of community or this community of faith in your spiritual journey? And can you share a specific instance? And hopefully, yeah, look at that. Thanks, Ads, for sorting that out. I couldn't do it on my own. It's almost like we need one another. So I want to give you the next 5 minutes just in turn to the person next to you or drag your seats around, spin around, grab a twos and threes and fours and just share briefly. Why does God put us into community? What's it for? See if you can list a few things and maybe share a testimony of how God has used this community of faith to enrich your faith, build you up, whatever it might be. Okay, are you ready? Over to you. I hope that we have just practically demonstrated one of the reasons, maybe somebody said this in your group, of one of the reasons we need each other. Did someone say something that you wouldn't have said yourself? Did you hear something from somebody else? You thought, yeah, that is a great reason. That is important. Because that's one of the reasons we need each other is, thankfully, praise the Lord, not everyone sees everything the way Colin does. Yeah. We need one another. We reflect different aspects of God's character to one another. We need the body. We can't all be an eye or an ear. We'd be very ineffective. We need one another. But there are so many reasons, and this is not an exhaustive list, but here are some of the things that God wants us to express more and more with one another. That we be real with one another. We have opportunity in community to be vulnerable. And especially in a digital age where people live their lives through social media and Instagram moments, that we realize that life is not all polished and filtered. And that actually we need environments where we can say, I haven't got it all together and I need help. That is a right and good thing to have. And it feels like the world is forgetting it. We need one another and being opportunity to be real, warts and all, with one another. We get to pray for one another. That goes beyond just a chat or just a conversation, as good as that is, but engages with God's Spirit and His Spirit in us. That goes to somewhere deeper than we could ever achieve just through talking. We get to care for one another. Jesus says that true religion is care for orphans and widows. When we're a community, we get the opportunity to look after the vulnerable and the marginalized in a way that we can't if we only ever met like this in a big room. We don't even know who is vulnerable and marginalized if we don't have opportunity to be a genuine community. I've mentioned it before a couple of times here, but we also get to confess our sins one to another. Pastor Jonathan was talking about a couple of weeks ago. And in that, we pray for one another and are healed. I have had the privilege of being part of one of our Pure Desire groups and being able to confess the worst things I've ever done, said, or thought, and known the true, deepest love of God expressed through my brothers in Christ. This wonderful, it just, the greatest expression, I believe, of church as it's meant to be, of not having to be anyone but who God has made you. Amen. And being loved and accepted. Yeah. And then being able to move forward. Amen. Into all that God has got. Yeah. There's a wonderful power in confession. And I tell you, I don't think it would happen if I said, right, everyone jump to your feet, let's confess our worst sins. It's probably not going to happen in this room. We need community. By the way, don't do that. Just there'll be a lot of pastoral picking up the pieces afterwards. But do that in that safety of the smaller, the breaking out of community that doesn't happen in a Sunday, but happens elsewhere all around it. We stir up one another in our mission, in our outreach. We're a missional community. We remember we're not just here for ourselves. In Hebrews 10, 24, 25, it says, let us consider to stir up one another to love and good works, fruitful works, going out there, sharing the gospel, loving our wider community out of the side of the community of faith, encouraging one another. It's in community that we're truly stretched and challenged, because if you don't really know me, you don't really know where I need to be stretched and challenged. We get to encourage one another, celebrate together, mourn together, which is another thing that I think we often forget in the West, the importance. Gwen so wonderfully expressed this when she shared her testimony when we were talking about the bereavement journey. She said, grief is something that should be shared. It's meant to be shared. We need one another. We meet one another's needs practically in sharing just, oh, you have this need, I have this abundance. We get to connect those things. And also, it is a witness to the world, being the family of Christ together. John 13, 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And lastly, we work together. There are so many gifts and skills and opportunities that you will have that I will never have, and hopefully vice versa. And it's the way that we connect together and complement one another, and as Pastor Clive was saying, honor one another and the giftings in one another, that we'll be far more fruitful and productive than any one of us could ever be in isolation. But just like our spiritual formation, the formation of this kind of community doesn't happen by accident. We're not going to accidentally one day stumble into depth of vulnerable, meaningful, genuine, loving relationship. And so if we want to see what God wants to do amongst us, which really talking about a community of discipleship, then we need to really take care to be like meaningful, purposeful in our approach to this. We want to see this deep connection with God, being a community of disciples where we are disciples becoming more like Jesus, who are we becoming, but also we're making disciples and sharing Jesus, inviting others into this relationship with him. And so do you think a quick conversation about the Euros results over a coffee in the hub after a service once a Sunday will do that? No. Do you think that even meeting with me or one of the other pastors for an hour once a week for a series of weeks in like having a pastoral one-to-one discipleshipy kind of conversation will do that?
No.
No. Those things are all good and they're great, and I'm not knocking those things. They have their place. But if disciple making and discipleship could be accomplished in just a handful of hour-long sessions or in a chai tea after synagogue on Shabbat, then he would have done it that way.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He would have skipped the long walks and the shared meals and the time spent around fires on a beach. He would have spared the time talking about the Father and his kingdom and traveling everywhere at 3 miles an hour, sharing tents together. But he didn't. He shared his life and all he had with his friends, and he spent time together, laughed together, shared, prayed, worshipped, experienced God together. Discipleship was woven into the fabric of every day of Jesus's life. And though perhaps, as we've said, community in this sense isn't so much a spiritual discipline, it's who we are to be, nevertheless, it requires active participation and dedication. Now, I just want to put it out there, of course, does anyone else ever kind of get this experience that people can be a lot? I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've been at home and I've just closed the blinds and kind of peeked out. Hopefully no one knows I'm in today. Yeah. We were talking to some pastor friends of ours that used to be pastors, saying that there was one time where someone, I think it'd been a very long week and church service and everything else, and someone knocked on the door and they literally all dived behind the furniture. Hide, don't let us know that we're in. And that's okay. We've talked about the importance of silence and solitude. Jesus withdrew from the crowds. That is absolutely okay, and that is right. But at the same way that silence and solitude was never meant to be a spiritual practice of just the introvert, in the same way community and fellowship is never meant to be the spiritual practice of just the extrovert. This is for all of us. And in fact, in Acts 2, it says that the disciples devoted themselves to four things: the teaching of the apostles, or the word, to the breaking of bread, both around tables and sharing meals, but also communion, to prayer and to fellowship. And that word devoted is in the Greek proskuneteo, which is to be intently engaged in or attend constantly to. And so just like the word or prayer, we need to be intently engaged in community. That's right. Because we love our independence, don't we? We can so easily splinter ourselves off into our own world. And if there was anything that COVID showed us, is that we need one another. It showed us in such a practical sense what God said from the very beginning: it is not good for man to be alone. We need one another, not through a screen, but to be present, to be real, to be open, to worship, to pray, to share, to get around the word, to eat. And over the last couple of years, I know God's been speaking to a lot of you about exactly that. He's been speaking to us about that. He's been speaking to us as a leadership. And so as part of the response to this call of just this excitement about what God really wants us to be, the people he wants us to become, we launched our first home hub. And in the spring of this year, after months and months of planning and prayer and thought and reflection, a bunch of us started to meet, kind of a bit on the down low. We didn't particularly advertise this or talk about this. We felt God was saying, rather than like roll out some new groups, just do this. Do this life together. Start to experience it for yourselves. And out of that overflow, and as that organically develops, as I move through that and in my timing, others will step into this more and more and more and more. And so we started to meet together just to do what we've been talking about today, to really give more opportunity for this kind of Acts 2, dedicate ourselves to the word and to prayer and to one another and doing life together and eating together and bringing our families together and being real and vulnerable. And though we're just seeing the first fruits of that, I'm not saying we're like, things change like that immediately, but it has been so, so good. It has been so good to connect with people in a way that it goes beyond just a shallow conversation on a Sunday, as lovely as some conversations can be, where we're really connecting. That's meant that individuals come and said, let's do things outside of that. That's the whole point, is let it spill over, this overflowing life that changes our day to day. And so I don't really want today to talk too much about home hubs or what that is or what that's going to look like. We will talk about that more in the autumn. I do want to just say that they will run alongside existing small groups. So if you're in a wonderful small group, don't worry, it's not going to change. But there is exciting things. There are exciting things coming. But I'm going to want to talk about that right now, because I believe that what God wants to say to us and our focus to be on is what he wants to do in us and why he wants to do it. And the how we're going to talk about later. But we need to first get this. God, what is it? Who are the people you want us to be? Why? And what's this going to look like? And a quick hint is because there's so much more that he wants to do in us and through us than we could ever possibly imagine. And we need to be this life-giving community for others to come into. And they will. They will. Yeah, so it's exciting. It's going to be good. But I want to just invite Lionel and Linda to come up. Lionel and Linda have been part of our home hub since the spring. It's been wonderful getting to know you guys better over these last months. And really just wanted to give you guys opportunity to share a bit of testimony. I wanted to ask this question of you guys. What has God, because we're talking about the what's and the whys, what has God been doing in you guys through it? Like, how has it blessed you? How is it being to you? And how has it been an outflow? What has it changed in you going forward? I'll give that one to who's going first, Lionel, Linda. Lionel, over to you.
Hi, everyone. I think I know quite a few people in here. But do I, really? Was kind of what God was asking me. A lot of people come in, I see you on stage, this, that, and the other. I've even been stopped in streets and people going, oh, you know, you serve at Kingdom Faith and all of that. And one thing that we've discussed is about conversations which can be very transactional, because we just say, hey, hi, how are you doing? See you later, Colin. See you next week. And what has been really good with Home Hub and everything leading up to it and through it is in particular, we're having real conversations. Some of the conversations you and I have had, and a few other people as well who are in the room today. And actually talking life. Yes, we have a dig at, you know, the football scores and all of that, and that's brilliant. But actual real in-depth conversations, and you're just laying it all down as you would do with a friend. And you are doing life together, you're praying together. One of the more recent conversations Linda and I had, we do have a lot of conversation because we're married. but when Linda did the photography for the baptisms, and as she was going through editing all the photos, she's like, oh, who's that person? Who's this person? Who's that person? And we sat there, looked at each other and went, well, this is an interesting conversation. So what are we going to do about it? Mm. And it's not just knowing who that person is, but also actually doing life together, sharing life together. So God's been talking about more real, meaningful conversations. You know, Pastor Clive was praying earlier about this kind of praying for our nation and praying for that influence in that community. It doesn't start up there. It starts horizontally in these conversations, these relationships, and then you build on that. Mm. And that's how you change nations. It doesn't just magically just happen. So while we strive for that, this has been really, really encouraging. And for us to come outside our comfort zone, I'm not comfortable standing in front of people and doing all of this. I never have been, but I feel God's been working on me over the years and trying to come out of my shell, so to speak. Yeah.
It's great. Linda, how about yourself?
So for me, it's been a journey, but it's been a good journey because, like Lionel, I'm not very good at coming up here and talking to people that I don't know. But it was just the meeting the people that I see every week in church, and we just a passing comment, how are you? How are you doing? And over these past few weeks, I've been able to have meaningful conversations with these people and getting to know them better and learning about them. And what you see from the outside when you get to know a person is nothing what you thought it was, what that person was. So I think it's been a really good opportunity to get to know people. That's the bit that I've liked the best, and to get the best out of me as well. Because like Lionel, I'm not comfortable about standing up here and talking, but God has been doing things in me and saying, push yourself forward. You can do it. Don't be afraid.
Amen. And you said that when you first came to the church, it was feeling a bit anxious in this big environment with so many people, but being in a smaller environment is just a very different experience.
Yes. Yeah, definitely, definitely. But, I mean, now, for the amount of time since we've been doing it, I feel quite happy now that if I see somebody sitting on their own, I'll go over and speak to them now.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I think that was the thing that really encouraged me when we spoke before, is that you were saying, like, that's been a change in you. It's not just, I feel more comfortable in this group, but it's meant that you have more of an outward focus of,
yes,
I want to take this comfort that I've now I've experienced myself and take it to another who might be, I don't know, they might be feeling like I used to feel. And it's
exactly
changed your outward mindset. That almost that missional going mindset has been changed as well.
Yeah,
and that was
definitely.
That's really, really cool.
Definitely. Yeah.
So thank you guys for just sharing. It was just brief, but thank you so much. There's so much going on. Let's encourage these guys. There's been so much that's been going on, and this is just one small example, just one small testimony of one small aspect of what we've been beginning to see. And again, I don't want to paint this picture of like this, we have just nailed this perfect group. That is not what's going on here. There is just a first fruits of more of that what God wants to do in all of us. And so we want to have opportunity for home hubs. These are growing. We're going to be soon moving to 3. And then hopefully by the end of the year, there should be 5 or 6. And then in the new year, even more so, there's more opportunity. So if you're thinking, hey, this sounds good, I want to get involved with this, tell me more, we will. But today, again, we're back to what we were looking at this morning. So there is one thing I want to say about it, though. And is that that our homes, for all of us, I hope we would all agree, we'd say yes and amen to this, that we want our homes to be hubs of kingdom activity and life. Amen. Amen. Of outreach, of prayer, of worship, of fellowship, getting around the dinner table together. Not to be a group, but to be family of God. And to see that life flowing out of it. And that's why they're called hubs. Hubs, the connotation of something at the center, but something at the center of something going out. And this is really, this whole idea is that there must be something going out. It's not the hub is the focus, but it's where it points us that's the focus. We talked earlier about the devotion of the disciples in Acts 2 and devoted to fellowship. Now, let me ask you, they were devoted to the word. Does turning up on a Sunday to church and listening to a message once a week, does that really paint a full picture of being devoted to the word to you?
No.
But does it help us move towards being a people devoted? Yes. Does being devoted to prayer look like going to a prayer meeting once a month? But does it help it move us towards being a people devoted to prayer?
Yes.
Right. So does attending a group mean that we are now tick the box, I am a person devoted to fellowship?
No.
But these home hubs exist to help us become a people who are devoted to fellowship. To put it maybe another way, we talked in that verse in Ephesians about the temple that God wants to build us into where he dwells. Amen. And if we're to be that temple, then home hub isn't the temple. Or any group or activity or Sundays in church is not the temple. This is not. We've achieved it. Look, guys, we're all here. We have nailed this. No, it's the community of faith that God is building. His church. His church is people.
Yes.
We are what he is building. So home hubs, Sundays, prayer meetings, they're like the scaffolding around this to help us become the people that God is making us into. Amen.
Amen.
But we should also realize that we don't need to wait for any particular structure or a group to start putting into action what God wants to do in us in being more and more this just exuberant family of faith. And so we want to look at some practical ways we can foster this community of faith. And I would encourage you, number one, to really take some time prayerfully. Go, God, am I committed to this body? Not to kingdom faith, but to look around, one another, all of us, these people, because we are kingdom faith. Amen. We're not committed to an organization. We're committed to God and to one another. Am I going to turn up for stuff? And am I going to get involved? And am I going to be going to open my home? To be intentional in our relationships, I was really challenged and wonderfully encouraged reading Henry Nouwen's book, Home Tonight, really looking at the parable of the prodigal son in depth. And he poses this as a challenge. He says, as a spiritual practice, consider fostering a real relationship with one who is visibly marginalized. Look beyond bizarre behavior, unfamiliar humor, or a broken body, and offer mutual friendship. Step beyond fear, beyond being a do-gooder, beyond controlling the relationship, and discover beyond the handicap a precious sister or brother. From your unlikely friend, you may be surprised to feel that you too are truly lovable and blessed just as you are. And that idea of not controlling a relationship or doing something out of being a do-gooder, but a mutual friendship with someone who I wouldn't normally just click with, and being intentional about that has really challenged and encouraged me. And I've seen such wonderful fruit of this as I've begun to put this into practice. Can we be intentional about building and nurturing of relationships within the community of faith? Like just inviting people over for a meal or coffee. Nick and Josie, I think, are a wonderful example of this. Nick was sharing a few weeks ago just a bit of testimony about his business. They just invite people over, get people around the dinner table. Guys are such an encouragement to me. And maybe potentially like Lionel and Linda, starting to see people. I know you because I know your first name, but I don't really know you. Can we get together? Or maybe I don't even know your name. I'd like to just go that far and just a deepening more intentionally of our relationships. And also both within and outside of our community of faith. Are there maybe friends or neighbours? We talked about at the beginning of the year last year about sharing our faith, sharing life, sharing Jesus. And then serving one another. Simon spoke about serving in the church, getting to know people that way. Where it goes beyond the church being beyond a thing I attend or somewhere I go to, but my family. And I think one of the ways we can embrace that and that changes in our mindset is when we get involved in serving. I would really encourage, if you've never been part of a prayer meeting before the service here, come along at 9 o'clock one Sunday and own the service, own the church, own what God wants to do and be part of it. And I would challenge you to say that, almost guarantee it, that your mindset will begin to change of this is mine. It is my family. It is not I come to someone else's family gathering. It is mine. And to take some ownership in that of our community. And then getting together, worshiping, praying together. Prayer triplets been such a blessing to me. Guys, let's get together more often and pray together more. And I want to ask us with our last few minutes. Don't worry, the guys upstairs, they said if you overrun by a few minutes for discussion, it's absolutely fine. So we won't put the notice up just for another few minutes. But I want to give up time for opportunity now for just a bit more discussion to ask you, what does being devoted to fellowship look like for you at this time? What practical steps can you take this week to deepen your connections in the community of faith? And then secondly, this question, in what ways can our community better reflect the love and unity described in John 13:34? That's when Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another, and this is how the world will know that you're my disciples. And what is my part to play in that? And before I hand over to you guys for just to discuss this in community, let's just pray. Jesus, I thank you for all that you're doing. Father, I thank you for all the new people that you've been bringing here that have used these words. I feel like I have come home. Jesus, I thank you that that can be anything that we are doing. That it must be because of your family, your kingdom. And Jesus, we want your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, we pray, Lord, thank you, first of all, for all that you've been doing. And we pray, Lord, a deepening of it. Jesus, I come against the spirit of loneliness. Jesus, an isolation, where the enemy likes to isolate and pick us off as individuals. Jesus, I thank you that there is strength in community, holding up our shields of faith around one another. And as I come against that spirit, I also pray that, Jesus, you would answer that prayer with one another. That, Lord, you would direct us to one another, to stand with one another. That, Lord, we would share your life overflowing, just overwhelming goodness with one another, and that the world would see that we are your disciples. Jesus, would you make us a place of faith? Amen. Lord, a people of faith, a people of love where we can grow, be supported, and shine your light to the world. And Jesus, I pray that, Father, you would just open the doors, Father, for more and more just this spreading goodness of your life and family of God. For those that don't yet know you, that they might taste and see and come in. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to encourage you, come and be part of this family. Come and know for yourself this Father, Heavenly Father who loves you, and come and join us. Be our brother, our sister. Come and experience the forgiveness of God, the life of faith, this adventure. And thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.